There are some things that are too good to keep a secret. Like how your Amex Platinum card helps you have the perfect trip. I'd like to check into the Centurion Lounge. Or how it seems like you always get those hard-to-snag tables.
Ooh, yum.
And how you get the most out of select can't-miss events. With access to the Centurion Lounge, Resi Priority Notify, and Amex card member benefits at select events, you'll have to share. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
This episode brought to you by 20th Century Studios' Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Director Wes Ball breathes new life into the epic franchise. As a ruthless king attempts to build his empire at the expense of the remaining human race, a young ape begins a journey to fight for a future for apes and humans alike. Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Enter the kingdom in IMAX on May 10th and theaters everywhere. Get tickets now.
As you may have realized, I watch a lot of sports. That's why I like Prime Video. It has all my sports in one app, like the National Women's Soccer League, included with Prime. Plus, you can buy Premier Boxing or stream the NHL and NBA playoffs on Max with the Bleacher Report Sports add-on, or add Paramount Plus for the Masters on CBS. Prime Video. It's all your favorite sports in one place. Restrictions apply. Prime membership required for add-on subscriptions. See amazon.com/AmazonPrime for details.
You are listening to the Dan Patrick Show on Fox Sports Radio.
Welcome to the program. It's a Wednesday. Dan and the Danettes, Dan Patrick Show. And my eyes don't deceive me. One of the great comebacks of all time, Seton O'Connor, has made it into the studio.
Thank you.
Pretty incredible. You know, you talk about the Vikings that come back against the Colts. This is similar. Maybe a little bit more majestic. But it's a late push for Most Valuable Danette. And we didn't think we would see Seton the rest of this year. But he's here.
I wasn't sure myself, Dan, but happy to rally.
You know what? How about just another round of applause?
Thank you. Thank
emotional.
You. Very emotional. You can still vote. Most valuable, least valuable, most improved, least improved. And we'll have the results tomorrow at the end of the show. And you can only vote once, but you can vote in all four categories. Stat of the day brought to you by Panini America, the official trading cards of the Dan Patrick Show. Play of the day, stat of the day, poll question, all of that forthcoming. We'll talk to the former Rams offensive tackle, now working for Amazon Thursday Night Football, Andrew Whitworth, a little bit later on. Marcellus Wiley, our good buddy, makes his weekly pit stop, the former NFL All-Pro defensive end. Phone calls are welcome, 877-3DP-SHOW. Operator Tyler standing by. You can also email and you can tweet this show. We say good morning. If you're watching on Peacock, thank you, our streaming partner. And if you don't have it, download the app. You can watch the show for free. And our radio affiliates around the country, iHeartRadio, Fox Sports Radio, in nearly 400 cities that carry this program. The news that we heard last night that Franco Harris had passed away at the age of 72, surprising because there was a big celebration this weekend in Pittsburgh, the 50th anniversary of the Raiders versus the Steelers that gave us the immaculate reception. And if you've never heard the call, this is how it happened and sounded on NBC.
Last chance for the Steelers. Bradshaw trying to get away. And his pass is broken up by Tatum. Tipped off. Franco Harris has it. And he's over. Look! Franco Harris had the ball on a deflection. 5 seconds to go. He grabbed it with 5 seconds to go and scored.
Even when you watch it, and I've watched it probably 500 times, you're still not quite sure who touched that football. Was it Frenchy Fuqua? Was it Jack Tatum? But Franco Harris told us years ago that he would always run out every play. When he was at Penn State, he would always go to the ball, even in practice. He learned this his freshman year, and it probably provided the most iconic play in the history of the NFL. Certainly one of the great nicknames. And you start to think about that. You got the catch and the drive. You got the holy roller, the immaculate reception. We've had the miracle at the Meadowlands. We had Music City Miracle. You had other sports, Miracle on Ice, the Hail Flutie, the shot heard round the world, wide right. But this started the Steelers' run. And when they got Mean Joe Green gave them a presence on defense. You had Chuck Knoll. They weren't a great team. Then you got Terry Bradshaw. But they felt like they changed as a team when they got Franco Harris. And that catch was so big, it overshadowed a Hall of Fame career. Because if you look at what Franco did, he was always consistently good. You know, he'd give you 1,200 yards. They were a run-first team, even though you had Bradshaw and Swan and Stallworth. But it felt like it changed when they got Franco Harris. He died at the age of 72. And if you're into numerology, that play took place in 1972. So Franco passes away. The Steelers do not retire jerseys. They've retired two. Now, they don't hand those jerseys out. I don't know if anybody can go in and say, I want number 12, because that was Terry Bradshaw's. But Franco's 32 was going to be retired, will be retired this weekend. So we're only a couple of days away, and I'm sure his teammates were going to come in. 50th anniversary, the Steelers playing the Raiders. The NFL Network was going to provide coverage of this, but Franco passing away at the age of 72. A lot of times, you know, people will ask me this privately, like, what's such and such really like? And sometimes I tell them, and they may not want to hear this. I remember telling that to my brothers-in-law about Lawrence Taylor. What's he like? And I go, he's not a good guy. He's a great player. And you don't like saying that to somebody, but if they ask you, sometimes I'll tell them, hey, Dale Murphy is one of the best people I've ever met in my life, not just athletes. Franco was a wonderful, warm person and engaging and would ask you about you. It wasn't just he was Franco Harris, but a wonderful person, certainly a great player, passing away at the age of 72. The other news, if you thought that the Giants were going to get a third baseman, I guess. I don't know what position they thought that Carlos Correa was going to play, but they were ready to introduce him. And then all of a sudden, there was something about passing a physical. I go to bed, I wake up, and the Mets have signed Carlos Correa. Now, I don't know if he has to pass a physical with the Mets, or their physical is going to be different than what the Giants had, or is this cold feet? Is this just Scott Boras saying, let me make one more shot, let me give one more pass with the Mets and see if Steve Cohen is willing to spend some money? And we found out that he was. I think it's a 13-year deal, over $300 million. Right now, the Mets are set to pay about $110 million in luxury tax penalties. So their luxury tax penalties are more than the team payrolls of the Diamondbacks, the Nationals, the Marlins, the Guardians, the Royals, the Rays, the Reds, the Pirates, the Orioles, and the Oakland A's. Today, brought to you by Panini America, the official trading cards of the Dan Patrick Show. Hottest rookies, biggest superstars, the all-time greats. Only one place to collect them all. Panini Trading Cards, the official trading cards of the Dan Patrick Show. For instant classics, autograph cards, memorabilia cards, rare inserts, and more. Start or continue your collection now at PaniniAmerica.net. Yes, Todd?
Supposedly, the Mets physical is just taking your temperature and blood pressure, so there you go. It worked out nicely for him. No x-rays or anything like that.
That's not true.
That is not true.
Okay, thank you.
Totally made
thank you,
up.
Todd. Yes, Marv.
My wife no longer wants to go to San Francisco now. No Carlos Correa.
Oh.
She's like, why would we go there now?
Oh, the 10th wedding anniversary. Yeah.
Trying to find a place. Queens it is.
Okay. Hey, Queens is pretty that time of the year. June, it'll be pretty that time of the year. All right. Paulie.
I'm reading this Correa story. It's very murky. He was supposed to be introduced yesterday afternoon. Then there's an issue with a difference of medical opinion, is according to Scott Boras, he told the Post, Post. And then it feels like, though, that's one of those situations where both sides had agreement in place because they said, like, let's fix this medical issue. And Correa wanted to be a Giant. You know, the Giants wanted him. I think there's a lot more to this story and somehow.
Well, yeah, there is. Because what is the medical issue? And are the Mets bothered by that medical issue?
He didn't leave the medical issue in San Francisco and then fly back to the East Coast.
Yeah. Did you bring your medical issue with you? Nope, I left it in San Francisco. Okay. That's where you leave your heart, in San Francisco. How about that?
That was nice.
Okay. Bloop. Yeah, thank you. Once again, a round of applause for Seton.
Yeah, let's go. Come on.
Let's just keep it going.
Seton's been here about 10 minutes, and man, it's incredible.
Yep.
Hope you're able to last the entire show. And
doing my best.
Yeah. Once again, you can vote. Most valuable.
We don't have a nickname for my comeback yet, but it's early in the show.
But
okay.
What do you want to do? Maybe the audience can come up with, you know, what are we going to label this? Everything. Now, we used to label these plays. We don't do that anymore.
Miracle in the Man Cave? Is that too cliche? Okay.
You don't like alliteration.
Yes, which means I did it anyway.
Yeah.
That's how emotional I am.
Yes, Marvin.
We were also going to start selling cough drops called Seton Halls.
All right.
Okay.
There you go. Branding. NIL.
Speaking of NIL, you know, this is an interesting time with college football. I gave you a hypothetical a couple of weeks ago, or did I? But this one made sense because Drake May, redshirt freshman at North Carolina, great, great talent, but not able to go to the NFL. And I thought, does somebody just say, hey, $10 million, you want to come play quarterback for us? I threw out Ohio State as just a hypothetical, C.J. Stroud going to the NFL. There's no rules. And then you had a comment yesterday by the Pitt head coach, Pat Narduzzi, who had this to say about Drake May being offered money.
I heard two schools, $5 million. I know the schools. I can't tell you. But I know the schools, too. It's called tampering, and it's really bad, guys. It's, you know, the NCAA's got us all in a bad spot right now, and I think it's only going to get uglier because there are no rules on the road. You know, I'm hearing all kinds of things. I'm hearing guys are getting paid even before they enter. You know, they're getting bonuses for just signing tomorrow. Kids are being paid in high school now a certain amount of money, and then when you get there, they would give you this money.
And he's obviously salty. He lost his best receiver. Addison went to USC. But hearing that two schools have offered $5 million for Drake May. Yeah. Now, did North Carolina match it? This is what's going on. I liken name, image, and likeness to a town that's got speed limit signs. But no police. Hey, you're not supposed to do this. You can't make contact. That's tampering. Okay, and who's stopping me? Nobody. The NCAA is going to stop you? Not happening. And there are so many players. 1,900 players are going into the portal. As of Monday, over 1,900 players. Talent's there. What are you paying them? Of course you're giving them their NIL money up front. That's why they're going to your school. They don't go, you know what, on second thought, maybe I'll just transfer to USC. I'm guessing somebody told somebody, then got back to the player or parents and said, in case you're wondering, third party is saying that you're going to get this. Yeah, that's what's going on. No direct contact here. And that's what I thought was going to happen with Drake May. Yeah, Paulie.
It's like we're back to college football in the 70s and 80s. But it's technically above board. So now you're buying players, paying players, tampering with players. But you have this NIL loophole that as long as you do the paperwork around it, the NCAA won't say anything. So it's basically 70s, 80s college football with a green light.
And this is supposed to be a great week for college football with recruiting. Multiple star players set for transfers. That includes the former five-star Jackson State recruit, Travis Hunter. He's going to Colorado. Clemson quarterback, DJ Uiagalelei. Coastal Carolina quarterback, Grayson McCall. So you have nearly 2,000 players. And it is chaos, and it's going to continue to be chaos. And shame on these educators who didn't see this coming. How you can go, wait, what's going on here? And I'll go back to a conversation I had with somebody at a university where they said, nobody's going to pay money for offensive linemen. I go, you are crazy. Because I would be spending a ton of money on my offense and defensive line. And that's what's happening. Not just skilled position players. But for the educators to act like, oh my God, I didn't see this coming. This is This is eBay. College football is on eBay. Yes, Eden.
Is this a problem?
Well, I think it's a problem with the tampering. Money is going to be there. I have a problem with that because there are a lot of coaches who get these kids, and then all of a sudden somebody comes in and, you know, the coach at Troy, all right, trying to establish himself, go to a bowl game, and then you got these, you know, other schools, bigger schools come in and just swoop in and take it. It's survival of the fittest. I understand that. But it's not fair to those schools, that coach who's recruited these kids.
But yeah. That, I mean, that's what USC did. And as of last week, that wasn't a problem at all.
No, if they tampered with him, it's a problem. It was brought up at the time by, you know, Pat Narduzzi at Pitt. He said, oh, you know, there's tampering that's going on. That I have a problem with. It's going to continue, and there's no enforcement here.
So is the problem more the transfer portal than it is NIL? Or is it both?
I think it's both. Hmm. Yeah. Yes, Todd.
If Narduzzi's so angry and they're so innocent, Pitt, and they don't engage in those kind of things, name the schools. Let's hear who they are.
Well, I was surprised when he said, you know, it's two schools and I know who they are, but I'm not going to tell you. No.
But they're playing in the playoffs next week.
Yeah.
Figure it out.
Yeah.
And it's not TCU.
Well, he said it's the schools that are, you know, get all the recruits. Okay. There's only a few of those, I guess. Yeah, Paul.
We may be getting to the point where staying in school will make you more money because there is no cap on a college pay. So let's say Drake May has 1 or 2 years left. He has 2 years if he chose to. Let's say he got $5 million to stay at North Carolina completely legally. Trevor Lawrence, his first year in the NFL, made $6 million as a signing bonus, $660 as a base salary. So his total net money was $6.6 million. That's reachable at the college level now, to the point where you could possibly make more money as a college junior than a rookie in the NFL.
But you want to get into your second contract.
Sure.
And the sooner you get in, the sooner you get to your second contract.
But Drake May is making more than Jalen Hurts right now.
Yes. Probably so.
Quite a bit.
Yes, probably so. But so is the quarterback at Alabama right now, Bryce Young. Yes, Todd.
Now, Narduzzi said sooners or laters we're going to find out who it is.
No, he did not.
What do you think he meant by
that? He did not say that.
I'm going to take the Ohio road, he said, and not mention everybody.
You'll find out what's brewing out, Wes. Wait a second.
Oh. No.
He didn't say any of those.
He did not say any of those.
Ugly rumors. So apologies to the Pittsburgh football
player. I got
to
go. I'm Oregon. I got to get off this
call. Whoa.
No accusations.
Let's take a break here. Once again, round of applause. Seton has done it.
Thoughts and prayers.
T's and P's.
Yeah. Now, you don't have an IV. I can't see it. Are you hooked up to an IV or you still have your gown on, your hospital
gown?
Yeah,
right. Yeah,
I'm
getting some fluids. Yeah. Got to hydrate.
Just don't turn around with that because you have that that outfit that you wear in the hospital.
And what's wrong with that?
Seton will come back, the name being thrown around.
Oh,
okay. All right.
Oh,
yeah, bloop.
All right. I like
all
that.
Right, Nick gets it.
How about we take a break here? It's emotional. That's all. Let's just gather our emotions, and we'll come back here on the Dan Patrick Show. Thanks for listening to the Dan Patrick Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning, 9 to noon Eastern, or 6 to 9 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Dan Patrick Show at foxsportsradio.com. Or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR. Or stream us live on the Peacock app.
All right, everybody, game off. Let's pause here to talk more about Monopoly Go. I know what you're saying. Flag on the play. You've already talked about that. But there's just so much more good stuff in this game. In Monopoly Go, you can team up with friends for timed tournaments where you work together to build up each other's boards. The more you win together, the more awesome prizes you unlock.
And there's so much more to get. You can get unique stickers. You could trade with friends to compete albums for big prizes. There's cool new playing pieces to travel the boards with. I was always a battleship guy. You know, you get those pieces, like there was the hat, there was the shoe.
Oh, same.
I was always a battleship guy or the car. You know what, too, is funny about a battleship? It's one of the only Monopoly pieces that you find that's not just a household item.
Wow, you know I mean? Even thought about that.
Yeah, most people don't have a battleship at home, but you have a car, you have a hat, you have a shoe, you have all those things. Anyway, you could also get hilarious emojis for taunting friends when you smash their buildings or heist their vaults. That's always fun. Plus, Monopoly Go feels new and exciting every day with constantly changing tournaments and challenges. A ton include their own unique mini games like digging for treasure or a robot Pachinko machine. And there's always new timed events that will help you win big, like massive multipliers for everything you win or rent frenzies.
There's always something fun to discover in Monopoly Go. So get off the bench and go download it for free right now on Google Play or the App Store. Game on.
As you may have realized, I watch a lot of sports, like a lot. That's why I like Prime Video. It has all my live sports and docs in one app, like Giannis, The Marvelous Journey, and the National Women's Soccer League, both included with Prime. Plus, you can buy Premier Boxing or stream the NHL and NBA playoffs on Max with the Bleacher Report sports add-on, or add Paramount Plus for the Masters on CBS. All in one app with one password. Prime Video. It's all your favorite sports in one place. Restrictions apply. Prime membership required for add-on subscriptions. See amazon.com/AmazonPrime for details.
If I could eat bacon for every meal, I think I would. I don't think I would. Breakfast, lunch, dinner, snacks, brunch. My love for bacon is no joke. My wife, who I love as much as bacon, says I would even put bacon in cereal if I could.
You know, I thought that I knew what good bacon was. Turns out, nope, I was wrong. Because then I tried Wright brand bacon, and honestly, I was speechless. And you know, it takes a lot to get me speechless, Paulie. But it was mind-blowing how good it was. And now here I am, a man that's been eating bacon his whole life, like it's his job, and I've never tried bacon like this before.
We're talking about number one, thick-cut, flip-your-whole-world-upside-down bacon, man.
Everything from the thickness of it to how it's actually real wood smoked just makes it taste unbelievable. It's really indescribable. I can't do it justice. And you should really just try it for yourself.
Yeah, don't be average. You're better than that. Do yourself a favor and get some Wright brand bacon in you. I'm getting upset. Experience bacon the right way. Wright brand bacon.
Let's bring in Jeff Passan, the Major League Baseball insider for the mothership. What happened yesterday or last night that all of a sudden Carlos Correa is a member of the New York Mets?
I'm still trying to figure out the details, Dan, but I think the sketch looks like this. Carlos Correa had agreed to a 13-year, $350 million deal with the San Francisco Giants. Such agreements, of course, are pending physical examination. In the physical examination, something came up. I don't know what specifically at this point that spooked the Giants. And when that deal seemingly fell apart, Steve Cohen, the New York Mets owner, who had at the 11th hour prior to Correa's agreement with the Giants, talked with Correa about a potential deal, rekindled things with Scott Boras, Correa's agent. And over the course of the next five or so hours, they hammered out a 12-year, $315 million deal that took the Mets payroll to the cusp of $500 million, Dan. It would be the most expensive team in North American professional sports history. The Mets have, if Correa passes the physical, which he is expected to do at this point, of course.
Wait, hold on.
$800 million. I mean,
so the medical issue that the Giants brought up is not going to be a medical issue with the Mets?
One would presume if Steve Cohen's going on the record with the New York Post talking about how Carlos Correa is the missing piece. Now, maybe doctors go to him and say, no, you can't do this. I mean, we already saw that happen with a $350 million contract. But, you know,
this sounds like cold feet, Jeff. This strikes me as, do you really want to go to the Giants? There's not much here. You know, wonderful franchise, wonderful city, great fan base. Do you really want to go here?
Why would you agree in the first place? I don't.
Well, because the money, you couldn't turn it down. Scott Boras doesn't go for the second best offer. It's always the best offer. And you're going to turn down $350 million. Now you just signed for what, 13 for 315 or whatever it is? Feels like. Carlos Correa may have said to Scott Boras, you know what? I just don't feel this doesn't feel right. This isn't where I want to be. Because if I'm going to buy a house, but I can't inspect it, but it's going to cost me $300 million, or there's an issue, but I don't know exactly what it is, I would have some concerns about that. This just feels like it's cold feet on Carlos Correa.
That I do not know at this point. I will say this, though. The medical evaluation process, it's complicated. You know, guys go through MRIs, they get blood work done. Stuff comes up. Like, this sort of thing happens probably a little more frequently than the public realizes, because behind the scenes, there can be renegotiation on the deal. And, you know, if there's any cold feet, maybe it came after the Giants said, hey, we have an issue, we have a problem here. And then at that point, all bets are off.
Is Steve Cohen spending intelligently as the Mets owner?
No. Of course not. But nobody ever suggested that he should, or that that's necessary for winning. No, he's spending like the richest owner in Major League Baseball should spend, according to fans. Now, generally speaking, what fans want is not gone out and exercised by their owner. But Steve Cohen is changing the paradigm there, Dan. We have to understand, he bought the New York Mets as a giant New York Mets fan, and he is running the New York Mets like a giant New York Mets fan. He spent $800+ million in free agency this offseason, bringing in Justin Verlander, bringing back Brandon Nimmo and Edwin Diaz. This is the fourth nine-figure contract, if it gets done, that the Mets will have done this offseason alone. They've already got Pete Alonso. They've got Francisco Lindor. They've got Starling Marte and Max Scherzer and Carlos Carrasco and Kodai Senga and Jose Quintana. And I can go on and on and on about all the talent that the New York Mets have. And on paper, considering that they, you know, won 101 games last year, they are the presumed favorite in the National League East, rather. But let's not forget the 2021 World Series champion Atlanta Braves, still in the NL East. The 2022 National League champion Philadelphia Phillies, still in the National League East, and with Trey Turner added to that team, along with Taijuan Walker. So it's not like the Mets are going to win the NL East running away at this point, or that they're such overwhelming favorites. No, this is a better Mets team than there was last year. But is it a team that's a $500 million talent team? You know, I wouldn't quite go there yet.
The World Series odds, according to DraftKings, the Astros are still the favorites. Then it's the Yankees and the Mets. And then it's the Dodgers after that. I'll leave you with this. Speaking of the Dodgers, given what happened with Carlos Correa playing with the Astros, would Dodger fans have accepted Carlos Correa if the Dodgers went out and signed him?
You know, I think that the second Carlos Correa hit the first big home run in a Los Angeles Dodgers uniform, they would love him. Because that's how fans are. It's all about what you do in our laundry.
Okay.
But Carlos Correa is not going to be hitting any home runs in Dodger uniform, Dan. If everything goes as expected, and we know things sometimes don't go as expected, but if everything goes as expected, he will be a New York Met and a New York Met third baseman for a long time.
Always great to talk to you, Jeff. Thank you.
Pleasure's always mine, Dan. Thanks for having
me. That's Jeff Passan. Thanks for listening to the Dan Patrick Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning, 9 until noon Eastern, 6 to 9 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. And you can find us on the iHeartRadio app at FSR or stream us live on the Peacock app.
Hey, I'm Doug Gottlieb. The podcast is called All Ball. We usually talk all basketball all the time, but it's more about the stories about what made these people love their sport and all the interesting interactions along the way. We talk to coaches. We talk to players. We tell you stories. You download it. You listen to it. I think you'll like it. Listen to All Ball with Doug Gottlieb on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, everybody, game off. Let's pause here to talk more about Monopoly Go. I know what you're saying. Flag on the play. You've already talked about that. But there's just so much more good stuff in this game. In Monopoly Go, you can team up with friends for time tournaments where you work together to build up each other's boards. The more you win together, the more awesome prizes you unlock.
And there's so much more to get. You can get unique stickers. You could trade with friends to compete albums for big prizes. There's cool new playing pieces to travel the boards with. I was always a battleship guy. You know, you get those pieces, like there was the hat, there was the shoe.
Oh, same.
There was the, I was always a battleship guy or the car. You know what, too, is funny about a battleship? It's one of the only Monopoly pieces that you find that's not just a household item.
Wow, you know I mean? Even thought about that.
Yeah, most people don't have a battleship at home, but you have a car, you have a hat, you have a shoe, you have all those things. Anyway, you could also get hilarious emojis for taunting friends when you smash their buildings or heist their vaults. That's always fun. Plus, Monopoly Go feels new and exciting every day with constantly changing tournaments and challenges. A ton include their own unique mini games like digging for treasure or a robot Pachinko machine. And there's always new timed events that will help you win big, like massive multipliers for everything you win or rent frenzies.
There's always something fun to discover in Monopoly Go. So get off the bench and go download it for free right now on Google Play or the App Store. Game on.
As you may have realized, I watch a lot of sports, like a lot. That's why I like Prime Video. It has all my live sports and docs in one app, like Giannis, The Marvelous Journey, and the National Women's Soccer League, both included with Prime. Plus, you can buy Premier Boxing or stream the NHL and NBA playoffs on Max with the Bleacher Report sports add-on, or add Paramount Plus for the Masters on CBS. All in one app with one password. Prime Video. It's all your favorite sports in one place. Restrictions apply. Prime membership required for add-on subscriptions. See Amazon.com/Amazon Prime for details.
If I could eat bacon for every meal, I think I would. I don't think I would. Breakfast, lunch, dinner, snacks, brunch. My love for bacon is no joke. My wife, who I love as much as bacon, says I would even put bacon in cereal if I could.
You know, I thought that I knew what good bacon was. Turns out, nope. I was wrong, because then I tried Wright brand bacon, and honestly, I was speechless. And you know, it takes a lot to get me speechless, Paulie, but it was mind-blowing how good it was. And now here I am, a man that's been eating bacon his whole life, like it's his job, and I've never tried bacon like this before.
We're talking about number one thick-cut, flip-your-whole-world-upside-down bacon, man.
Everything from the thickness of it to how it's actually real wood smoked just makes it taste unbelievable. It's really indescribable. I can't do it justice. And you should really just try it for yourself.
Yeah, don't be average. You're better than that. Do yourself a favor and get some Wright brand bacon in you. I'm getting upset. Experience bacon the right way. Wright brand bacon.
Let me play what Jalen Hurts had to say about possibly playing Saturday against the Cowboys. And then we'll bring in Marcellus Wiley. Here is Jalen Hurts yesterday.
I know we're playing a really good team, a really good opponent, and doing everything we can on a short week to be at full health.
So from your perspective, do you think you have a chance to play on Saturday?
Definitely a chance. Taking it day by day, though.
Marcellus Wiley, the former NFL All-Pro defensive end, host of More To It podcast on the Dan Patrick Podcast Network. And he joins us now. Is that a must-lie situation there, Marcellus? Do you think Jalen Hurts is going to play against the Cowboys?
No, I don't think he's going to play against the Cowboys, and he doesn't think so as well. But he understands his role, and he understands it fully as the leader of this team. Jalen Hurts, beyond his talent, his character is what's really driving this team to make him accountable and why they're on this win streak right now and have the number one seed. And Jalen Hurts knows he doesn't want to drop the ball in terms of the momentum this team has right now. Saying that you're going to just pass the baton to Gardner Minshew without a fight makes some people question you in the locker room. That's the football culture. You have to die trying. So Jalen Hurts knows, even if he's physically not able to go out there, verbally, he has to act like he can.
Okay, what would you do if he's iffy to be able to play? Like, how important is this game for the Eagles? We know how important it is for the Cowboys.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting. There's always layers to it. Like right now, you're talking to your audience, but then during commercial break, you talk to the Danettes and you guys say different things. Obviously, you're privy to different information if you're on the inside. So on the inside, as a teammate, I would know the real. I would see them in the training room. I'll say, "What's up? You good?" "I don't know, dog." "I don't know, dog" has a no in it. It doesn't have "I don't, yes, dog." "I don't know, dog." So we get it. And then you have to go out there and publicly profess something so that we can still hold some hope out. But at the same time, when I've been in that predicament before, I've kept it real on the inside and fake on the outside.
Trying to figure out Dak Prescott. It always feels like when we say, "Oh, where is he? A top 10 quarterback." He's around 10. why isn't he higher, or what's missing for him to move up the quarterback ladder, in your opinion?
One, the scrutiny is so intense that we're going to question ourselves even when we believe what we see with our eyes. That's what happens when you wear the star on your helmet. Dak Prescott suffers from that. Also, Dak Prescott has had a ton of resources, but not all of them at the same time. Let's just remember this. When he had the offensive line that was young and balling, and Ezekiel Elliott was balling when he was young, he didn't have a defense. Then all of a sudden, you start to see some of the holes in Ezekiel Elliott in the offensive line. Then you start seeing flashes from the defense. Then all of a sudden, you look up and he doesn't have the receiving core he needs, but he has the defense. And the running game could be there if they committed to Pollard fully, but they're going back and forth trying to respect the contract Ezekiel Elliott. I look at this like it's Dallas, so we're always going to find something critical to say. Dak Prescott is certainly a great quarterback, but how great is always going to suffer because of where his location. And more importantly, everything that he has, he's not had at the same time. So I think that's why he hovers around number 10.
Is there a quarterback who's under more pressure?
I can't name him. I don't see anybody else. And the pressure is because people won't give you your flowers. The pressure is when anything goes wrong, you're the reason it goes wrong. Even if it's defensively, even if it's in coaching and making mistakes on the sidelines, somehow, some way, because Dak Prescott is the quarterback of the Cowboys, we find a way to get to him. And being real about it, as a player, I would feel like that is on the media at large, because the media at large knows what's the jackpot. Cowboys, and when you say Cowboys, who are you talking about? Dak Prescott. So all conversations have to lead and end with Dak Prescott, therefore all the criticism.
Okay, when you did your show on Fox Sports, how often would you have a rundown meeting and go, we have to get the Cowboys in the conversation today? You're encouraged to go with the Cowboys on a daily basis.
I was just the opposite. That's why I'm here right now, because I got tired ad nauseum. I'm sitting there like, why we keep talking about the Cowboys? I mean, this was times when the Cowboys were 500. We got to talk the Cowboys three times in the first hour. I'm like, they're not even that good right now, but we still had to do it because it pays the bills. So I think everyone knows behind the veil what's driving this. Like, they're a machine. They're a cottage industry when you talk about the Cowboys. But I'm not going to lie to you. I'm a former Cowboy. I got tired of talking about them. And I think there were deeper layers, there were better teams, and there were more interesting conversations at times to have. But they don't drive the bottom line like the Cowboys and Dak does.
Marcellus Wiley, the former NFL All-Pro defensive end, and his podcast, More To It, available weekly on the Dan Patrick Podcast Network. You touch on a topic, the Jets quarterback battle with Zach Wilson and Mike White, and then you say how backups lie about loving the starter. Explain.
Yeah, I mean, what a dynamic. And we've all been through it in the workplace, you know, someone who has the job you desire. So how do you coexist with that person? You know, do you bring them coffee and donuts, or do you try to spike it? Are you sitting there trying to undermine them? It's the same thing in the NFL. Like, when you're a backup and a capable backup, not a backup who knows I don't have a chance. Like, I was a backup to Bruce Smith. I didn't have a chance, so I didn't have to go out there and sabotage him. But when I felt like, hey, I need my reps, I need my opportunities, it's time for me to try and figure out a plan where I can all of a sudden take over. In the Jets situation, this is a perfect dilemma. They have two bad choices. You have Zach Wilson with all this talent, and you know that he's someone you want as your franchise quarterback, but he hasn't lived up to the billing. Then you have Mike White, who was compromised in that respect, but everyone believes in him, and he has a great story, and we rally around him. And if you're the Jets organization or Robert Saleh, you're sitting there like, I really have two bad choices. But coach is going to be as faithful as his options, and he doesn't have any other options, so you got to try and rally behind both of them. But when you're a backup to a guy you know that you're better than, or at least you feel that way, boy, it's kind of weird going to work every day, going to practice, knowing you're trying to stab him in the back.
What's this say about the position of quarterback? Quarterbacks currently in the NFC playoffs: Jalen Hurts, second-round pick; Kirk Cousins, fourth-round; Brock Purdy, Mr. Irrelevant; Tom Brady, sixth-round pick; Dak, fourth-round pick; Taylor Heineke wasn't drafted; and Daniel Jones was the sixth pick overall.
Yeah, it highlights how important intangibles really are. And that's something that gets lost in the process of becoming a top quarterback. I hear a lot of basketball players say this, like the basketball IQ of today's athlete is low because they're doing so many specialized trainings, so many skill courses, one-on-ones, and they don't have the perspective of the entire game. Same thing with the quarterback position. They find them their throwing coach and they go out there and work on footwork and all the mechanics, but the perspective, and not just on the football field, but like Jalen Hurts off the football field, building up that character, building up your leadership skills. All those things are intangibles and they're hard or impossible to measure. Therefore, people don't really put focus on them when you're developing a quarterback, but it comes to light when you get to the highest level, because everybody could throw, everybody could run, everybody's big and strong, but who has the will inside of them and the character to go even farther?
How often would you have an argument, sports argument, on TV, and it was a real argument? Like, this is going to stay with us during the commercial break or after the show.
From my perspective, I never had that, because I was raised that if we're really going to argue verbally, we're going to bring out the big guns. And I never brought out the big guns on TV. Even though I would shoot here and there, I would try and slice you here and there, I never brought out my big boy. Why? I heard this in relationship counseling. My counselor told me, he said, never argue to win with your wife, because then you're living with a loser. And I used to think the same thing when I used to debate. I was like, if I win and try to destroy this dude, now, the next segment and the next show, I'm with a loser. And they took it to heart. I worked with a ton of people, tremendous, tremendous commentators and broadcasters. And very few of them could just move on. They always took it to heart, in part because they didn't have that character development of playing the sport. I really believe playing football made me understand next play. And I can't think about the last play. Next conversation. I can't think about the last conversation. But I would get up there with some people who would take it into the break, take it offset, take it home, and don't want to talk the next day. So I learned early not to go that far with it. Maybe that's why I didn't win enough debates.
Who's the last football player you'd want to fight?
The last football player I want to fight? James Harrison is coming to mind. We've had a similar conversation before, but I know he's a big teddy bear. So even though it would hurt in the process, I'm up for that fight with James Harrison. I'm not going to lie. The first time that I was able to see, like, it would be like a big receiver, really, because they are athletic, more athletic than you, and as big. So maybe like a Megatron from the old days or something like that. Like a guy who I know is more athletic than me and as rangy as me and not that much weaker than me. Those would be the guys I don't want to see.
Would you rather face Justin Fields or Patrick Mahomes?
Wow, where are we? Justin Fields. Look, I know he has that wild card factor of the running ability, and every play that breaks down, he smiles because he's like, yes, this is my time to shine. But I want someone like a Justin Fields, because then I can just bring my blitz package from the outside. This is something that Bill Belichick did against Doug Flutie. When Doug Flutie was really making some hay in the league, no one could stop him because he had that running ability. And Belichick said, okay, let me just keep him in the pocket. Let me make a run straight through the tackles, and let's check on that running ability. So there's a way to slow that down and force him to throw. With Patrick Mahomes, no matter what you do, he's still going to get his numbers. He's still going to put up points.
The passing of Franco Harris at the age of 72, coming up on the 50th anniversary this weekend, Steelers and the Raiders. And maybe the greatest name attached to a play in sports history.
Yeah,
immaculate reception.
Rest in peace to the great. You know, it really hits home. It's funny, when you retire from football, it's really your first death that you faced in your life. Like, you just died in terms of a career, in terms of all of your investment into something. And usually you're in your 20s or 30s, but you have a long life to live. And now you're starting to see, for natural causes, those heroes that you grew up watching, now they're starting to fall. Now they're dying. And it really hits home, especially when you're a part of that fraternity or a part of the game of football like we all are. 72 years young, it's just unreal. But what a tremendous legacy. Obviously, he'll live on forever through highlights, through his accomplishments. But It really hits home for me because I start to do the mental math and start to say, wow, guys that I used to have on my wall, now they're falling.
Great to talk to you as always, Marcellus. Merry Christmas to the family, and we'll talk to you in the new year.
All right. Merry Christmas, guys. Take care, brother.
Marcellus Wiley, former NFL All-Pro defensive end. Thanks for listening to the Dan Patrick Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning, 9 to noon Eastern or 6 to 9 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Dan Patrick Show at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR. Or stream us live on the Peacock app.
All right, everybody, game off. Let's pause here to talk more about Monopoly Go. I know what you're saying. Flag on the play. You've already talked about that. But there's just so much more good stuff in this game. In Monopoly Go, you can team up with friends for timed tournaments where you work together to build up each other's boards. The more you win together, the more awesome prizes you unlock.
And there's so much more to get. You can get unique stickers. You could trade with friends to compete albums for big prizes. There's cool new playing pieces to travel the boards with. I was always a battleship guy. You know, you get those pieces, like there was the hat, there was the shoe.
Oh, same.
There was the, I was always a battleship guy or the car. You know what, too, is funny about a battleship? It's one of the only Monopoly pieces that you find that's not just a household item.
Wow, you know, I mean, even thought about that.
Yeah, most people don't have a battleship at home, but you have a car, you have a hat, you have a shoe, you have all those things. Anyway, you could also get hilarious emojis for taunting friends when you smash their buildings or heist their vaults. That's always fun. Plus, Monopoly Go feels new and exciting every day with constantly changing tournaments and challenges. A ton include their own unique mini games like digging for treasure or a robot Pachinko machine. And there's always new timed events that will help you win big, like massive multipliers for everything you win or rent frenzies.
There's always something fun to discover in Monopoly Go. So get off the bench and go download it for free right now on Google Play or the App Store. Game on.
As you may have realized, I watch a lot of sports. Like, a lot. That's why I like Prime Video. It has all my live sports and docs in one app, like Giannis, The Marvelous Journey, and the National Women's Soccer League, both included with Prime. Plus, you can buy Premier Boxing or stream the NHL and NBA playoffs on Max with the Bleacher Report sports add-on, or add Paramount Plus for the Masters on CBS. All in one app with one password. Prime Video. It's all your favorite sports in one place. Restrictions apply. Prime membership required for add-on subscriptions. See Amazon.com/AmazonPrime for details.
If I could eat bacon for every meal, I think I would. I don't think I would. Breakfast, lunch, dinner, snacks, brunch. My love for bacon is no joke. My wife, who I love as much as bacon, says I would even put bacon in cereal if I could.
You know, I thought that I knew what good bacon was. Turns out, nope. I was wrong, because then I tried Wright brand bacon, and honestly, I was speechless. And you know it takes a lot to get me speechless, Pauly, but it was mind-blowing how good it was. And now here I am, a man that's been eating bacon his whole life, like it's his job, and I've never tried bacon like this before.
We're talking about number one thick-cut, flip-your-whole-world-upside-down bacon, man.
Everything from the thickness of it to how it's actually real wood smoked just makes it taste unbelievable. It's really indescribable. I can't do it justice. And you should really just try it for yourself.
Yeah, don't be average. You're better than that. Do yourself a favor and get some Wright brand bacon in you. I'm getting upset. Experience bacon the right way. Wright brand bacon.
Andrew Whitworth, a Prime Video Thursday night football analyst, the former Rams offensive lineman and won a Super Bowl. When's the last time Sean McVay reached out to you to come back and play football?
To come back and play football, none. I think he knows I'm done. So we've had plenty of those conversations, but we've talked a lot of ball this season and just being there for him and what's been a really tough year for them.
Okay, what advice do you give with an offensive line that's had, what, 14 different looks to it?
Yeah, 14 different starters. It's been NFL history as far as the injury numbers. It's unbelievable. You know, I think it's more, obviously, I played in Cincinnati, as you well know, Dan. I went through some ugly seasons before. So, you know, just being there for them and saying, hey, man, just a good conversation of where you're at in the year, what can be the mentality and really what you're talking to the team about. Because when you start to get like this, guys just start to lose confidence and just, you know, a presence about them in the locker room to where it's, you feel down every day and you feel like, man, can this keep happening to us? And so I think just having those conversations of how do you keep guys fired up to go out and compete every week and keeping that mentality of going out and being a competitor in what's been, man, just an unbelievable year from an injury rate standpoint.
Okay, but help me understand that. When you were with some bad Bengals teams and you get to week 15, week 16, I know you get paid, but how do you kind of get that energy to, you know, hey, here's another game and let's go out and play great football or at least try?
You know, I think it's really when you start to find out, you know, who it is that stays. I mean, I look at those moments throughout my time in Cincinnati and even in L.A. after we'd had a couple good years and then had a down year or two. You find out who the guys are that you're like, you know what, this is the guy that we want here and why we want him here, and we want him here for the long haul, because you'll see that the guys who just can't handle not having success and the guys that maybe are playing the game for different reasons other than just going out and competing, they struggle in those moments. But the guys who love football, they love the opportunity to compete and go be physical and try and win and do their job, they're the ones that stick out in these moments. You'll find leaders. You'll find guys that'll be somebody you lean on for the next 4 to 5 years. Everything in between, teamers, special teamers, different things like that, that really become the nucleus of your team in moments like this. Because I know for myself, in 2008, we were 0-8 and played the Jacksonville Jaguars, and I had a moment with my team where we had to make a stand against them. And I got in a fight actually with John Henderson, got kicked out of the game, him and I both. But that week I had given a speech to them that I'd never lost in my career, anywhere I'd ever been, and in my time in college and high school. And I just wasn't going to accept being that way in the pros. And we go out in that moment, we have a great game against them. Him and I getting this big moment. He was the guy at that time in the league. And from that moment on, I was the captain of the Cincinnati Bengals. And so you can find who your guys are you're going to lean on in these moments if you're looking the right way.
Give me the team that you have the most confidence in and the least confidence in as far as playoff teams.
You know, I think probably for me, the most confidence is you know, the Philadelphia Eagles. I mean, you know, people talk about the weapons they have and how Jalen Hurts has played, which has been exceptional. But what I really look at is when you combine those things with a Lane Johnson, a Jason Kelce, a Brandon Graham, a Fletcher Cox, these guys that have been in the moment, who've been there, they've won it, they've experienced what December football is about, winning in the playoffs is about, and they're also just great leaders, great dudes that want to go out and do exactly what we just talked about. They want to go fight and win no matter what the situation is. You add that to what you have, the skill positions and how the quarterback's playing and how that secondary is played for them, and you got a really special football team that not only could out-talent people possibly, but they got the right mentality and demeanor as a football team to go out and compete in the biggest moments. And I think for me, really, if I look at a team that I don't trust as much, it's up there. Obviously, we've seen Tennessee fall off. I think the Dolphins are tough because it's like, man, they're so explosive offensively, but defensively, they don't seem to, you know, every week you can't seem to see consistency in their ability to stop people when they need to. And I think in playoff football, we've seen it time and time again, you know, you got to have a defensive stand. You got to have the ability to stop people and keep people from scoring to win these games, because no matter how the offensive goes, you know, at some point in the game, you're going to have to make those stands. And I don't know if I trust their defense in those moments.
Steve Young talked about this, that you're, and we just had Marcellus Wiley on, that when your career is over, part of you dies, because that's been you. That's been your identity for, you know, when you're growing up, when you're in high school, when you're in college, when you're in the pros, and then you get to be like 32 or 33 and you suffer a death. Did you go through that of, part of me just died, now I move on, and now I'm this different person?
Yeah, I think you really do. I think for me, what's a little different is that I was a part of Cincinnati for so long. I mean, 11 years, that I almost went through that experience when I moved to LA, because I was unsure what that move was going to be like. I was a 35-year-old lineman. Like, how long am I actually going to play? So I kind of went through a lot of those emotions of everything I'd ever known as an NFL player had just changed, and I'm moving my entire family across the country. And so there was a lot of kind of that feeling of a loss or a death in my mind when I made that transition. And then I got reinvigorated around being around Sean McVay and a franchise that was locked into finding a way to win. And that was so exciting that really this year when I retired, I was really at the end. It's like, hey, I've played as long as I can possibly play. This has really been a blast. I couldn't be more appreciative of my time as an LA Ram, but I'm done. I'm finished. And so there was a little bit of a time where you realize, man, it's a big wheel and it keeps turning whether you're in it or not. I remember having those conversations with Larry Fitzgerald this summer where he just talked, we kind of both shared about different struggles we had retiring. And when you realize, man, you were this guy. And now even relationships that you had, that you talk to people every day in your building, you don't talk to hardly any anymore just because they're in the middle of everything that's going on in an NFL year and you're not. So it's just hard to have communication and feel appreciated and feel a part of things. And you have to really come to grips that, like, you know what, this is this big NFL machine. And when you're not in it, man, it just keeps rolling. And I think it's just that humbling feeling. And once you get used to it and realize, hey, I got to find my identity in new ways, you start to embrace it in a better way.
Great to talk to you. How's the transition been? You have any moments where you're like, what am I doing?
Yeah, I'm not going to lie to you, Dan. The first time that camera turned on and they're like, you're live, go. I'm like, you know, my heart's racing 1,000 miles an hour. And I'm like, man, am I a rookie facing, you know, Terrell Suggs again? What's going on right now? If so, you know what? It's finding a new way to be challenging yourself. It's been a lot of fun. I think for me, Dan, just like, studying the game as a left tackle, it was so much about the defense and my guy had to block every play. And now to have the opportunity to study the entire game.
But more nervous going on TV the first time or playing in your first NFL game?
I want to say probably for me it would be playing for sure, because Carson Palmer was back there and they just gave him a whole lot of money. So if he got hit, I was going to be in a lot of trouble. Going on TV, I don't have any problem talking, so I'm all right with that.
Merry Christmas to you. Great to see you again. And my best to the Thursday night crew. Thank you.
Hey, appreciate it, brother.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only, must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
It's Freddie Prinze Jr. and Jeff Dye back in the ring. Wrestling with Freddie makes its triumphant return for an electrifying fourth season. Hey, Jeff. Are you ready to rumble our way into an all-new season of Wrestling with Freddy?
You better believe I have. I've been practicing my body slams, and I'm jacked.
All right, don't go injuring yourself now. We'll be highlighting the best stories and matches of the week in wrestling from AEW, WWE, and have one-on-one talks with the best talents in the world of pro wrestling.
Listen to Wrestling with Freddy on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What's up, everybody? This is Stephen A. Smith, host of the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast. Tune in every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at the very least as I bring you all new episodes that feature the biggest headlines in the world of sports, pop culture, business, and I answer your phone calls and respond to your tweets. You'll hear my unfiltered opinions and straight-shooter interviews with top celebrities and game changers, all that and more. So listen to the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.